Good singing this evening. Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalms chapter 89. Psalms 89 this evening. We'll read responsively verses 45 through verse number 48. I'll read verse number 45. You'll join me on verse number 46 and so on through verse number 48. Psalms chapter number 89, beginning in verse number 45. The Bible says in Psalms 89, verse number 45, "The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame, Selah. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how shortly my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been a joy to be in your house today. Lord, it's been an encouragement. Lord, we've received strength from your word. Lord, it's just been a blessing. Lord, thank you for your word and the promises that we find in it. Lord, in a world today of uncertainty, thank you for the steadiness, Lord, of this truth, your word. Lord, please tonight with our pastor, would you fill him with your Holy Spirit's power? Lord, once again, Lord, we need your blessings this evening. Lord, this morning's blessings won't do for tonight. Lord, never again will we be here assembled the same exact way. Tonight is special. Tonight is unique. Lord, may we approach it just as is, Lord, in the importance of it. Lord, please speak to our hearts. Lord, use the truth that's been prepared, Lord, to encourage, to strengthen, to motivate us to do more for you. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Keep your Bibles open to Psalm 89. We're going to use our Bible a little bit tonight, but if you'll give me your attention just for a little while here. Of course, in recent weeks, I've done several funerals, and a couple of them are pretty high pressure, a little bit heavier than usual. And it's not just been, and please don't take this the wrong way, 100-year-old sick people, all right? It's been some tough funerals, many ages and tragedies, and may I say this, death is not a respecter of age. Death is not a respecter of persons. Matter of fact, it's going to happen to everybody. There's a line in the industry in the funeral home world, caskets come in all sizes. And I have done caskets that the whole casket would fit on the top of this pulpit right here. Looks like a little white igloo cooler. And I've done them for 100-plus-year-old people and everybody in between. I was sitting in a funeral home recently with a man who had lost his wife. And just before we prayed together to go do the service, he looked at me as we sat on the couch across from one another in the funeral home, and he said, "Brother Bush, you really don't realize how short life is. You really don't realize how short life is." Well, he'd been married for 54 years. And the statement just echoed in my ears. You don't realize how short life is. He said, "You don't realize how fast life goes until you're about to bury the one that you love most." My mind raced to Psalm 89, verse 47. "Remember how short my time is." I made a mental note of that in my thinking, and I went and did the funeral service and graveside, and I scratched a few notes down on a 3x5 card, and then a few days later started working on this sermon. As I look back over my life, I see how quickly it's passing. And I guess I'm afraid to say this out loud, but I'm not. I know I've got far more behind me than I have ahead of me. I'm at that point in life where I realize I passed the halfway point a long time ago. And there's a lot more behind me than there is ahead of me. God tells us that we need to remember. Notice God says here, remember. The word remember means to call to memory again. So tonight we're going to remember how short life or time is. I would lie if I didn't say I'd like to live a long, healthy life. Who wouldn't? Now, personally, I'd be glad if the Lord came back and didn't have to worry about it. But if he doesn't, I'd like to live long, healthy, and strong until it's time to lay down one day and then wake up in glory. That's the way I'd like to do it. But may I say this, I don't have a guarantee of that. Even a long life here is short compared to history. And a long life here is really short compared to eternity. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like my life to count for something. I hope someday when my body lays in a casket in front of this pulpit, and somebody stands to preach my funeral, probably him, I hope that it's more than just, well, he was a good man, we missed him, see you later, preacher, and it's over. Now, I'm not saying there ought to be bawling and squalling, but I'd wish that maybe my life would have counted a little bit. I'd like my life to have left an impact. I'd like to know that I have made a difference in this world. I'd like to know that my life had a good impact as long as I was here, and maybe that impact would last for generations to come. Brother Joe, could you do me a favor? That piece of paper that fell out of your Bible is going to bother me. And it's not you, but I'm going to look at that thing the whole time, and Miss Chris is going to wonder what's wrong with her shoulder. You see, how I live my life is important. I can't wait until I get to my late senior years before I worried about how my life has been lived. I've been a busy man. I don't think I've been busier than anybody else in life. I just chose to be busy. Some of us, we have to stay busy longer to try to stay out of a little bit more trouble. But I've tried to be busy, not just about being busy, but about doing the work of God. I've been preaching for 40 plus years. I've been in the ministry my entire adult life. I have given every ounce, every fiber, every hour that I could give to the ministry and helping of people in the building of the work of God here and around this country, and even investing in people who are around this world right now preaching. Can I say something? I don't have any regrets. If I go to sleep tonight and don't wake up here and wake up in heaven, I promise you this preacher doesn't have any regrets. I surrendered to preach at age 13, preached the next day, and I haven't shut up since. Don't plan to. But may I say something here? How you live your life is important. How you live your life is important. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste your life. And I don't want to waste my life to come, and I don't want to waste your life to come. Something we have to think about. How we live here affects how we start heaven. When you go to heaven, you don't all of a sudden know everything and become super spiritual. You lose your sin nature, but you will enter heaven at the same spiritual level you leave earth. Boy, that ought to scare some of us. You see, just because you lose your sin nature and your knowledge of sin doesn't mean that you go to heaven and all of a sudden, ding, I know everything. Nope. There's going to be a lot you're going to have to learn. And I decided the moment I leave earth, I don't want to miss a step in heaven. I just want to learn all I can, help everybody I can, so when I get there, they'll get me up to speed pretty quick. So, let me help you tonight. Number one, God made us to live forever, but we sinned and caused death to come. God made us to live forever, but we sinned and caused death to come. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 1. That's the first book of the Bible. Page 4. All right, or 3 or 2, whatever it is in your Bible, but you'll catch it here. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse number 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after the our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." That means deer that you shoot. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now I want you to know something. God made us in his likeness. We were made to live forever. And I will teach you right doctrine. Your body was made to live forever. Your body was made to live forever. When we sinned, death came by sin. Death is a foreign agent to our bodies. I've watched many, many people die. Death, in the process of death, sickness, cancers, etc., is brought on by sin, not by God. Let me say that again. Death is brought by sin, not by God. Pain is not part of that process. Pain was given to you by God to protect your body. How many of you have ever, you ladies, been cooking in the kitchen and got a little too close to the stove and all of a sudden you felt that thing getting really hot really quick? You didn't necessarily touch it, but you're getting pretty close. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That pain. That was to warn you, don't do that. How many of you have ever touched something and burnt yourself real good? You know, the oven or the stove or the iron or whatever. Yeah, or muffler pipes or welders or whatever. Yeah, you know how that goes. The reason you have pain is so, because if it didn't hurt, you wouldn't realize how much damage you're doing to your body. And that pain is to make you, it's an instant reaction to pull away from it. That's what pain is for. God gave you that reflex so you wouldn't make it worse. Ding dong. You know, when you stub your toe in the middle of the night on the edge of the bed and you kick that thing and you're thinking, oh man, my toenail just came up to my nose. It hurts really bad. You know, you learn, don't walk that close to the bed. You know, it's a warning system not to hurt yourself. The body was made to live. That's why the struggle of death is what it is. Your body is made to live. It's amazing how far the body can go before it dies. You'd be surprised how many people just hang on till there's nothing left. Man, I've seen all kinds of things. And you're thinking, how much more could a human body take? And that person's just chugging along. Why is that? Because God made this body to live. It can shut down system by system by system by system and still keep going. It's the craziest thing. Say why? Because God made it to live forever. So the struggle of death is that struggle of sin. It's not struggling to die, it's struggling to stay alive. Now, listen to this very carefully. Sickness, disease, old age, the slowness that comes with it, are all part of sin. It's part of the curse of sin. Let's see, Miss Osi's back there. She's what, 86? 85. I didn't mean to give you an extra birthday. It's coming in February? That's what I thought. Imagine Miss Osi coming to church next week telling us she's going to have a baby in 9 months. All right? Now, wait a minute. That's what Abraham and Sarah were like. Yeah, think through that one for a second there. That's enough to make you scared. As we get older, we don't want those things anymore. The aging process, it's part of the curse of sin. At 53, I have to regularly remind myself I'm not 25. Now, from here up, I can still do it. But from the eyebrows down, it's a whole different ballgame. A whole different ballgame. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Whether you use medicine or natural remedies, the earth, our bodies, and everything is cursed by sin.
That's right.
I'm not going to put chemicals in my body. What do you think your body's made up of? Where do you think the chemicals came from? The same place the tree bark and the grass roots and everything else that you're pumping down the pie hole came from. And the same earth created them and grew them and fostered them. It didn't come out of the air. Well, those chemicals came from a laboratory. Yeah, but where did they come from before the laboratory? The ground. And the earth is cursed. Now, I don't care if you drink barley green and eat tree bark and thistles. I don't care. You go to the average GNC or any herbal store, half of it's weeds. Weeds are a result of sin. Well, vinegar, it's natural. Vinegar doesn't occur anywhere in nature naturally. It's pre-wine. It's the stage between fresh juice and wine. You don't go out and pour vinegar out of an apple tree. It doesn't happen. Well, it's natural. Okay, you told yourself that. You can believe it. You can drink all of it you want. I'm not drinking it. I like it on my salad. That's it. But it doesn't occur naturally. Be careful that you criticize each other. Honestly, I don't care if you drink vinegar or if you take Pepto-Bismol. It doesn't matter to me. It's the same stuff, just one's colored pink and one doesn't smell as bad. Now, but it's the same stuff. Chemically, it's virtually the same thing. So before you criticize each other, well, if I get cancer, I'm never going to do chemotherapy. Okay, God bless you. That's rat poison. Okay, but do you know what rat poison is? It's a blood thinner. If you're on Coumadin, that's rat poison. That's all they do to a rat. They thin its blood to where the blood seeps through the blood vessels and it kills itself. And yet some of you, you're not going to miss your blood thinner. You say, well, I'm taking rat poison? Basically, it works the same. It doesn't mean that you're eating rat poison. But it works on the same premise. But you also have to understand a rat's body is different than your body. So before you start saying, well, I'm never going to do that. Well, depends how much you want to live. May I say this, we just can't play God and say which one's best. Amen. I don't care whether you use all natural. I don't care if you go to the doctor and take a pill to get up, take a pill to go to sleep, take a pill to go to the potty, take a pill not to go to the potty, take a pill to do this, take a pill. I don't care. I really don't care which you use. I will back you either way because it all comes from the same cursed earth.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to eat natural free range. No antibiotics. Well, I'll be honest with you. I'd rather have a healthy cow that had antibiotics in it at one point in time. After 24 hours, it's out of its system than some old nag that was full of poison when they killed it and I ate it.
Amen.
Just so you know. Well, free range. Do you know what the term free range chicken means? Instead of putting them in cages in a room like this, they put them all on the ground in the same size room, and they have about that much room to walk around in. That's what free range means. And yet you pay triple for it. Now, you say, that's not true, preacher. Yes, it is. They have a little escape hatch to let the light in, but the chicken can't get out. It can see the daylight, so it's free range. That's it. If you knew what you pay extra money for, organic. Okay, how much organic can orange juice get? I hate to disappoint you. You don't get orange juice from anything but an orange.
Yep.
And yet you're paying more money because you think you're healthier. Orange juice is orange juice. It is what it is. So God made us to live forever, but we sinned, and sin causes death and the death process and sickness. Number two, we're to redeem our time. Now remember, God told us in Psalm 89, remember how short time is. By the way, I don't care if you eat free-range chickens or you go to the store and pick up any old hen off the shelf. I don't care if you shoot your own, raise your own. Don't care what part of it you eat. You can eat the feet. That's fine with me. I'm not eating chicken feet. So with them things scratched up, I am not going to eat that stuff. But what's that? But I'll eat chicken liver and chicken heart any day. Now, you can keep them old gizzards. That's nasty stuff. But give me them hearts and those livers, and buddy, suck them puppies down. Now, wait a minute. You say, preacher, you're kidding. No, I'm not. Ashley and Joe, a couple years ago, gave me about 50 pounds of those things, man. I love that stuff. Slurp that down every time. Now, wait a minute. God says, though, not only should we remember, but we should redeem our time. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 16. God tells us here, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Turn a couple pages over, book of Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, look at verse number 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. The word redeem means to gain possession or to regain possession by purchase or trade. In other words, you had something, you got rid of it, and you need to get it back. Can I tell you something? Once you've spent time, you can't get it back. Now, hang on. God wants us to cash in on life, not just waste it. He wants us to redeem the time that we have. I like living. I don't know about you, but I enjoy life. I would not make a good liberal. I'm not going to quarantine. My wife would kill me. Or Miss Wally would kill us both. I don't do well just not doing nothing. I decided a long time ago, I only have one life. I'm going to get everything out of it I can get. I'm going to live it every day, every moment. I'm going to enjoy every experience. Say, preacher, you're getting old. You're getting to the grandparent years. Yes, I'm going to enjoy it. I don't have any grandkids, but I got two grandpuppies. Got Diesel and Nala, and I enjoy them. I enjoy our kids that are grown. I enjoy my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law. I enjoy this stage of life. I don't worry about getting old. I'm going to enjoy being old. I'll have an excuse to get away with saying some things then. God wants you to cash in on life. He doesn't want you to waste your life away. Why sit there and do nothing with your life? Folks, we have a generation of generations of people who are wasting their life away doing nothing. We're not to be casual about time and appointments. Amen. Folks, I believe in being on time. I believe that as your preacher, we ought to start church on time. Just outside that door right there is a clock. Choir will tell you. Brother Josh will tell you. I watch that thing. I watch it till we're just seconds before 6 o'clock. The moment it hits 6 o'clock and 0 seconds, that door is open. Say why? Because I believe in being punctual. I believe that doctors ought to keep punctual appointments. Amen. If I go to a doctor and I got to wait extra long, I'm about ready to come unscrewed. I'll do it once. Second time, it ain't happening. But they'll charge you. I'm going to charge you because you cost me time.
That's right.
Now, I've been backed up a time or two on appointments, but it's not by much. I understand scheduling. Well, we have to overschedule because people don't show up. That's your fault, not my fault.
Right.
Don't make me wait because you don't know how to run your business.
Amen.
I don't care if you're a doctor. Don't care if you're a mechanic. Don't care what you are. Don't keep me waiting that way.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? I just believe that you ought to be on time. I was taught that you ought to be on time. If you're late to a meeting, let's say there's 75 people here tonight, and you were 2 minutes late, you didn't waste 2 minutes. You wasted 150 minutes because you wasted 2 minutes of everybody else waiting on you.
That's
right. See, I look at time as life. By the way, it is life. Time is life. Be on time. Don't waste your time. Don't waste somebody else's time. Time is life, and wasting it is wasting life. Now, if you showed up late tonight, I'm not angry with you. I'm just teaching you. God says, redeem the time. God wants us investing our lives and earning interest on it, not just spending it and living our life on credit.
Amen.
Ouch. Can I tell you, young people, listen to me. Listen to some of us older codgers that have made some mistakes in life. There are some things you really shouldn't try because you're going to pay for it the rest of your life. Listen to some of these old people with aches and pains saying, I shouldn't have done that when I was young. You know, statements like, watch this, y'all, probably is not a good idea. Say why? That's going to hurt for a long time. And it's going to creep back up on you one of these days. 2 years ago, I was getting ready for bow season. I was out shooting and I had crisscrossed a couple arrows, came back, grabbed them all out, came back, let loose of one, went to go let loose of another one, and the whole world went crack, bang, and I felt pain like I had never felt before in my life. And I have a wrist strap on my bow so it didn't fall out all off of my hand, but I couldn't hold it up. And I thought, man, my string broke. And I looked and the string was still there. I thought, okay, it's all tore up. And I looked and my hand's bleeding, blood pouring down. I thought, what's going on? Well, what had happened was, when I had crisscrossed those arrows, those carbon fiber arrows, one of them cracked and I didn't know it. And when I let off on that quick release and all that load hit that arrow, it broke and it drove the back end of that arrow right into my thumb. The front end of that arrow went 40 yards to the target. The back end stuck in my thumb and broke in two pieces and flew off. Tore up the string, tore up the peep sight, tore things out. It was ugly. You know, my thumb still hurts from that. I mean, still hurts bad. I have lost part of the use of my thumb because of that stupid thing. I mean, it just never stops hurting. So, word to the wise, those arrows crisscross, don't shoot those puppies. Those are things you learn in life. There are some things that you should do so that you don't lose your hearing or lose your eyesight. somebody tells you to turn the light on, oh, I can see anyway, don't ruin your eyes. Well, I'll just get laser surgery and get them fixed so I don't have to wear glasses. Do you know what laser surgery is? They literally reshape your eye. They cut your eye. And it'll last for about 5 or 7 years, and your eye goes anyway because you're getting old and it just relaxes. That's all that it is. They reshape your eye. You can do that all you want. They're not going to poke a laser in there and start recutting on my eyeballs. All right? I'll wear these. I'm not so vain that I have to say, well, I got to wear glasses. And there comes a point in time your arms are not long enough to see it. And there's only so big the font goes in your Bible or on your phone. And I'm not going to tell you how I know that. Don't live life just as it happens and wander aimlessly through. I decided a long time ago I wasn't going to be a stick in the river just floating and going wherever the current takes me. I decided I was going to decide where I was going to go, how fast I'm going to get there, and do it expediently so that I can get to the next thing and do it again. Life doesn't happen to me. I happen to life. I don't let life just happen. Now, there's a lot of happenings that come up in my life that I don't have control of. That is correct. But that which I do have control of, I'm going to make a lot happen. Count your time and others' time as valuable. Can I tell you something? Time ought to be a priority to us. Good night. I was talking to an employer recently. And he said, Pastor, he said, I wish you understood how hard it is to get good help. I can't even get people to show up to work, hardly. He said, I can't even get them to call me if they're not going to show up. I said, I'd fire them, fire their rear end really fast. He said, I can, but the next one I hire isn't any better. I thought, good night. At 16 years old, my dad looked at me and he said, don't you ever be late to work. I remember one time I was in college, I was working in Valparaiso, and I got a flat tire on the way to work. Well, I had always left myself a little extra time, but I put my spare tire on, and it was flat. I was a mile and a quarter from the nearest gas station. So, I had a fellow with me. This is the days before cell phones. I said, you get everything ready. I'm going to run. And I ran with a tire all the way to the gas station. And in those days, you didn't have to pay for air. Praise God. I pumped that puppy up, and it was holding air. I said, it's going to hold the air long enough to get me to work, if nothing else. I'll fix it in the parking lot after work. I filled that thing with air. I rolled it and ran for the next mile and a quarter back to the car. I was huffing and puffing and huffing and puffing. Got it. We threw it on there, zinged up the lug nuts on that thing, threw everything in the back of the car, took off, and got to work 2 minutes before starting time. Boss said, man, you guys are cutting it close. You're all always here 15, 20 minutes early. What happened? I said, had a flat tire. Had to run a mile and a quarter to get air in my tire and run it back to fix it. He said, it'd been okay. We wouldn't dock you for a couple minutes being late. I said, I'm not going to be late. I said, I might be out of breath, but I'm not late. I might need to wash my hands before I start, but I'm not late. And I wasn't late. Can I tell you something? Just be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Number three, God wants us to number our days. Turn to Psalm 90. We were in Psalm 89, Psalm 90, verse number 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. To number our days. Folks, can I tell you something? That's talking to those of us that are a little bit older, especially. Young people, you need to number your days too, that you may learn wisdom. This means, the word number there literally means to schedule. You know, how I live my life is determined by what I schedule my life to do. I decided a long time ago I wasn't going to sleep a third of my life away. If you sleep 8 hours a day, you slept 1/3 of your life away. Man, I can't keep my eyes closed that long. I'm just not built that way. So I need more sleep than that. God bless you. I'm not wasting 8 hours. To me, sleep is a waste of time. I hate sleep. 5 hours, man, I'm ready to fly, man. I got 19 hours, here we go. And I'm ready to fly. Now, that means schedule your days. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to teach you something here that may help you. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 8. 2 Peter 3, verse number 8. Brother Joe, you making a mess again? Good night. Leanne, can't take him anywhere, can we? 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Oh, I've heard people say this is in reference to the 70th week of Daniel. And it's going to happen at 7,000 years. And the earth has been here for 7,000 years. So this is the year that the Lord's going to come back. That was 20 years ago. It does not say that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Look at it again. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. It doesn't say that it is 1,000 years. And it says 1,000 years as one day. Say, what does that mean? That means this: a day with God is so rich and so full, it would be like you living 1,000 years here on earth. You will find more productivity, more learning, more truth, and get more out of one day with God than you could 1,000 days of living life here on earth. Say, what is that, numbering your days? What do you give your life to? You show me what you give your time to, I'll show you what you give your life to. You see, God wants us to live scheduled to get as much out of life as we can. We're not supposed to just sit and watch it pass away or play games and let it play away. I'm going to make a statement. Some of you play video games more than you read the Bible and walk with God. Yeah. And when you get to heaven, you're going to wonder where your Game Boy things or Game Stations or whatever you call those stupid things. You're going to wonder where your Candy Crush thing is on your phone app in heaven. I have owned a cell phone for a long time. I have not played one game on a cell phone. I decided when I got one and they started putting games on those things, that's not a toy for me, it's a tool for me. Amen. I'm not going to use a screwdriver for a tent peg anymore. I did that. I was doing okay till Dad mowed and we didn't take the screwdrivers out of the yard and they started going across the neighbor's yards. That didn't go over real well. Some other things went too. We had a board meeting that day, amen. But the Board of Education was applied to the seat of knowledge, and I learned very well, don't use Dad's screwdrivers for tent pegs. Now, I can tell you something. You'll get more out of life if you schedule it. Now, I live such a life to where my schedule changes regularly. But I have a pretty good grip on my schedule. My secretary doesn't schedule my meetings. I do. I take care of my schedule. That's my life. And I do pretty well with it. Now, I still use pen and a schedule book. I had a fellow tell me, aren't those hard to find? I said, no. My secretary learned how to make them for me. I don't have to worry about it anymore. She's got the next 3 years already printed out for me. He said, I was wondering, because you can't find those anymore. I said, no, that's why she had to learn how to make one. But I'm doing okay with that. I can't use my stupid phone. I don't have reminders in my phone when to do something. Folks, I've been doing it this way for a long time, and I've been scheduled and so scheduled for so long, I don't need somebody to nag me to remind me when something needs done. I'm quite capable of nagging myself with my own schedule. So I would just forget. Yeah, because you don't think time's important. More gets done by schedule. So make sure you keep your schedule. Some of you wonder why you're less productive. It's because you don't schedule anything. That's why you have problems with keeping a regular schedule with your wife for dating, for your kids, for this. You wonder why you forget everything, because you don't schedule anything. You don't schedule when to do things. You don't schedule when to save money for different things. My wife and I have something coming up. We started 6 months ago scheduling, saving some money for something that's coming up here before too long. You say, why? So that when it got here, I didn't have to wonder, do we have money set aside? So you put a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there, and we got ready for it. I don't have to worry about, can I pay my bills? This is extra money. Boy, isn't that a novel idea? It's called priorities. Prioritize. Can I tell you what your priority is? Whatever's happening now. Some of you live your life on credit, and I mean your time is on credit, and you wonder why when you have to get things done that you can't get it all done. Some of you are so overwhelmed with projects that you never did because you think you have to do the whole project all at once. For some of you, you ought to clean the shed or the garage or your outbuilding or whatever it is. But can I tell you why you won't do it? Because you open the door and say, too much to get done all at one time. Okay, how about you decide you'll take an hour a week and get it done? Nobody said you had to do the whole thing all at once. Some of you ladies quit cleaning your house because you look at the whole house and say, I got to clean the whole house. How about you schedule and do one or two rooms a day? If you would schedule it and do it a little at a time, it all gets done. But no, we look at the whole project, say, if I can't do it from start to finish, I can't do it, don't want to do it. No, how about you schedule time for it?
Amen.
See, if I don't get done with something, I have to go to the next thing. Right now, I have about 30 sermons that I'm working on, and none of them are done. Now, I have a few that are done, but I got 30 or 40 of them sitting there in different stages of doneness. I don't have very often to where I get a block of time where I can sit down and do a sermon from start to finish all at one time. If you knew how many times the phone rings, how many people knock on my door, how many things that come up, and how many projects that need done, and in between, I work on things a little bit at a time, but I schedule the time to work on those. It doesn't mean that I get it all done in one shot. This sermon was worked on probably over a period of 5 or 6 days. And I didn't sit down from start to finish and get it all done at one time. So some of you ought to decide, I'm going to give X number of hours per week to this project, and X number of time to this project, and X number of time to that project till I get it done. A little bit of progress is better than that junk that you got piled up doing nothing. If I were on vacation and the car broke down, I'm going to push it to the gas station. I'm not going to sit there. I'm going to make progress. I'm going to make a little bit of progress. I'm going to make something happen. I got to quit here. Don't make others wait because you don't schedule well. And I'll finish with this and be done. I've lived a very busy life. But because of that, I've lived a lot more life than most people my age. Preacher, you've been in 47 states, 46 states, something like that. How'd you do all that? Schedule. I didn't set out to do it, but it happened. I want my life to count for God. Oh, by the way, it passes very quickly. I can't believe I'm 53 years old. I really can't. I can't believe I'm married to a woman old enough to be a grandmother. Life passes pretty quickly. Fortunately, she's in the nursery and hope she didn't hear. Love you, sweetheart. Yeah, speakers are on. I'm in trouble. I didn't say she was old. I said old enough to be. You see, I honestly, I don't want to hold back on God. I decided as a young man, if I was going to do it, I was going to give everything I had to it. I'm not about to let some pervert rock and roller give more to the devil than I give to God. There's no way that I'm going to let some sodomite like Michael Jackson give more to the devil than I give to God. I don't want to get to the age where most people retire and say, well, I can't wait till I retire. I have no desire to retire on God. I really don't. Now, there may come a time where I'm not physically able to pastor this church anymore, but I'm still not going to retire on God. I want to travel and preach if I can't pastor. If I can't travel and preach, then somebody's going to push my wheelchair, change my Depends as we knock on doors, going soul winning. I just am not going to shut up. You can push me room to room in the nursing home, and the nurses will have to change my Depends, but I'm going to be getting the gospel out. Last summer, I preached in Illinois. No lie, this is the honest to God truth. There was a 104-year-old man there. And the pastor I was preaching for said, Brother Bush, I got to introduce you to my best soul winner. He said, the man's 104 years old. Remind me of Brother Fred. Not quite that old, but Brother Fred wasn't. And I got there, and the guy said, Preacher, got another one today. He had led somebody to the Lord, visiting the nursing home, visiting somebody. He walked up or rolled up to him and handed him a gospel tract and started talking to him and won him to Christ. At 104 years old in a nursing home. I put my arm around that man and I said, you're my hero. He said, oh, why'd you say that? I said, because I hope when I'm 104, I'm still seeing people get saved. I love it. Oh, by the way, just a few weeks after that, he went to heaven. But can I tell you something? He went to heaven getting the gospel out. Amen. That's kind of the way I want to be. If I can't pastor, I want to preach. If I can't preach, then I want to be a good layman in the church, go soul winning. Just push me from door to door. Yes. As I sat across from that man whose wife we were about to do the funeral for, life passes quickly. So that means I want to live today the best I can. Then, tomorrow when I get up, I want to live tomorrow the best I can. And if it's going to pass so quickly, how about we decide we'll get the most out of every day? My wife and I sat at breakfast the Monday after we buried Sarah. Brother Nathan sat across from us. And he said, Brother Bush, I told the kids, make sure you hug each other every day. Make sure you kiss each other every day. Make sure you tell each other you love each other every day. Because you don't know when it's the last time. I said, Brother Nathan, you're right. I don't leave the presence of my parents without telling them I love them. My dad will tell you that. My mom will tell you that. I remember when I worked for Brother Hiles. I made sure every time I saw him, I said, "Preacher, I love you." I remember every time I would go to the church or leave the church, I would go by his office, whether I knew he was on the property or not, just in case he was there and the door popped open, I got to say hello. But I remember after February 6th, 2001, that door would never open again and he'd be on the other side. But by the way, I'm glad the last words we exchanged. I said, "Preacher, I love you." And he said, "I love you too, Craig." Last words I ever heard him speak. What a precious thing. Time passes quickly. It's been almost 20 years. This February will be 20 years he's been gone. But I still hear those last words. Oh, it passes quickly. Time passes quickly. How about we get the most out of every second we live? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Eternity's long. Time here is short. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy each stage. They grow up so fast. But when they're grown, it's not so bad either. They pay their own bills and you ain't got to feed them. Can tell you something? Time passes quickly.